following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning. Wonderful, wonderful. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege and the joy of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. For my whole growing up, I'm almost sure every single week, I heard my dad preach from something called the Revised Common Lectionary. So it is basically a reading and a preaching guide. So it has readings from the Old Testament, a psalm, a gospel reading, and an epistle reading, or one of the New Testament letters, reading from one of those. And it rotates through a three-year series. So your A is Matthew, your B is Mark, your C is Luke, and then you rotate through again. And John is scattered throughout. So you get all of those things in there. In preaching class in seminary, we talked about the benefits and the challenges of preaching through the lectionary, and I'd be happy to share those with you if you are interested. I think there's some really great things about it. I think there's some really challenging things about it, and that is one of those super nerdy things that pastors like to talk about when we get together at pastor gatherings. But one of the main benefits that I've experienced of the lectionary is that it allows the Holy Spirit to really put in front of you a text that you may not otherwise have chosen for a given day or time or moment. And so today and next Sunday, I'm going to preach these lectionary texts, or at least one of the four texts for the week. Next Sunday made a lot of sense to me because it is Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday, which is in some ways, you can look at it as the kickoff to Advent, though that's not liturgically correct. It's actually the end of the church year. Advent is the beginning of the church year, but Christ the King Sunday is kind of that getting ready for Advent type Sunday, talking about Christ the King and the reign of Christ. So that one made a whole lot of sense to me as I was looking through these. And today, I had decided to preach the lectionary text weeks ago because we were here in the middle of a series on our shift series, just past breakthrough, but not yet to Advent. And so I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to pull out the lectionary text and see what was there. It was that simple. There wasn't a whole lot more thought that was put into it than that. But the reading, especially specifically the epistle reading for today, was exactly what I needed for this week and for this weekend especially. It was a completely necessary reminder to me of where I and where we can find trust that there is assurance in something far greater than our own broken humanity and our own broken world. And so our reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 25. So I'll invite you to open up there in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, please raise your hand. And I know that we have one that we would be happy to give you, and we will have more than one next week for others. But if you would want a Bible for today or to keep, please raise your hand. And before we read together, let me pray for us, and we can dig in. Lord, this morning I am so thankful for your word, your living word that speaks to us, that comforts us, that challenges us, and that assures us. Lord, I ask that you open up your word to us this morning as we read together. And God, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Hebrews 10, verses 11 to 25. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time," says the Lord. "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Monday, an email went out in our prayer chain for two young children from Grace Academy in Zambia, Davy and Prisca. Davy has been having a hard time getting the visa he needs, as well as the visa his caregiver needs to go receive the necessary medical treatment in South Africa, medical treatment that he cannot get in Zambia. And so prayers were asked for that process. Prisca was facing some dire conditions having to do with her medical diagnosis and was really fighting for her life. And so we prayed. And I know many prayers went up from around the world for these two beautiful children. Wednesday, another email went out through the prayer chain. Prisca had gone to be with the Lord. She was loved and she was cared for, and the beauty and the image of knowing that her hand was being held in that moment was overwhelming. And then the second paragraph of the email was also devastating news. A young 15-year-old boy named Blessing had died suddenly as well. And so there's this deep sense of loss and of sadness at Grace Academy over these two children. And it hurts. And it hurts here. It hurts in our church family. It hurts around the world. It hurts the children there who lost a brother and a sister because they are a family. And it hurts John and Susan and the other caretakers who see these children as their children, who love these children as their children, who treat these children as God's children. Friday, I opened up my computer to a headline about explosions and gunshots in Paris. I'll admit that my first instinct wasn't to click on it. I thought, well, this probably isn't as serious as, you know, this blinking headline makes it sound. And then I couldn't escape it. And kept going back and then kept reading and reading more and more, seeing more and more accounts of what had happened. And I found myself incredibly relieved to know that two acquaintances at this point, two young women who I knew in high school, who I probably haven't talked to since high school, but just hearing that they were safe, it had this incredible sense of relief in that. One was on her honeymoon and the other was in Paris for work. And I can't imagine what they're going through, what their families are going through. And this is one of those times where social media felt like a really incredible thing, but also made things that much more real. You get this up-to-date information, but you also get firsthand accounts of what's going on in a different way than we would have long ago, even years ago. But I think that also makes it a lot scarier. It makes it feel more real. Also on Friday, along with these attacks in Paris, there is an earthquake outside Japan. and there was a scare of a possible tsunami. Last week, there were bombings in Baghdad, Iraq, and in Beirut, Lebanon, that killed dozens of people. Friday, the world was a mess. Friday was a difficult day. It was difficult to watch, it was difficult to read about, and to hear about sitting in the safety and the warmth of a coffee shop thousands of miles away. It was, and it is, a time where the reality of evil and sin felt especially present in our world. It's been a week that has felt heavy, heavy with the deaths of beautiful young children in Zambia, heavy with violent, horrific, senseless attacks on innocent people in Paris and Baghdad and Beirut and elsewhere in the world that we know are constantly under attack. And so in the midst of this, and really because of all this, the assurance offered in Hebrews, the assurance of Jesus Christ, is something that felt especially needed for me this weekend and even this morning. In a time where everything else seems so unsure, seems scary and sad and frustrating, we receive this promise that through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and we are redeemed for our sins. Through Jesus Christ, we have new relationship with God. Only through Jesus Christ we receive this assurance. And this morning, the importance of that is not that it is just assurance for me or just assurance for you, but is assurance for our world, that Jesus came for our world, for this broken world. Jesus came for you and for me and for all of our sinfulness, for all of the ways that we fall short of God. The assurance is that when we over and over again sin against God, that Jesus remains, that God's love remains, that the work of Jesus on the cross is not undone. And so this morning, especially this morning, I invite you to accept that assurance that Jesus offers. The assurance that Jesus offers through himself. And I'd suggest that this morning that means answering two questions. Two questions that I read this week that really help understand and to really accept that assurance and all accept that assurance and all that means. These are two questions that a writer and a professor named George Guthrie from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary asks his students who may be struggling with accepting the truth that it is only through Jesus that sins are forgiven. And so the first question he asks is, are you committed to a relationship with God through the work of Jesus Christ, depending on his sacrificial death alone for the forgiveness of your sins? Are you committed to a relationship with God through the work of Jesus Christ, depending on his sacrificial death alone for the forgiveness of your sins? And so if the answer to that question is yes, then the second question, I think, gets at the heart of accepting this as assurance. And the second question he asks his students is there any sin in your life that is causing you to doubt your salvation? Is there any sin in your life that is causing you to doubt your salvation? That first question feels to me like a head question. Yes, I know that. I accept that. I believe that. And the second question is more of a heart question. While I may believe that, while I may know that, is this the way that I feel? Is this the way that I'm living my life? Is this the way that I interact with God and the way I interact with Jesus and the way I interact with others? Or do I let the sin in my life trump what I know in my head about who Jesus is? And Satan sure loves when we question our salvation based on our sinfulness. It keeps us from God. It keeps that wedge in between us. It keeps us from bringing that sin to God and asking for the forgiveness that God gives. And so if the answer to that second question is yes, then you need to spend some time giving that sin up to God, releasing it to the one who forgives, releasing it to the one who forgives through the only one who makes that possible, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you want to talk more, ask questions, work through some of that sin, I'm always willing to talk and to sit and to listen and to pray with you and to help you bring that to God. But we really need that assurance, the assurance of who Jesus is and what Jesus promises us, the forgiveness of sins and relationship with God. Sometimes more than other times, we need that assurance, don't we? Today, following this heavy week, I need that assurance. Today, I feel the way that I think or I see, you know, little children feeling when they slip or when they fall, turning around immediately to look for mom or dad or someone to protect them. Or when Posey slips off the bed or off the couch or is playing too much, playing a little too hard tug of war and flips and falls on her back and immediately rushes to Erica or I. She needs that assurance, that protection, the safety, the love that she knows that we give her unconditionally. And so what an incredible blessing and promise it is that every time we slip and fall, every time we hurt ourselves unintentionally, every time we sin, every time the world around us feels unsafe, we can turn around and look to God. And we can come to God in relationship because Jesus paved the way for us. The other part of this passage from Hebrews that I love is the last two verses. I'm going to skip back there. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Because we have this assurance, because we share this assurance, because we know who Jesus is, because we share in the joy of the forgiveness of our sins, because our relationship with God has been restored through Jesus Christ, we have to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Because love and good deeds are the natural outpouring of the faith and trust and assurance of Jesus Christ. And that's what I experienced just over a week ago here at Breakthrough. I experienced a group of people, a church body, who were spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. I experienced a church body who was not giving up meeting together, but was willing to encourage one another. I experienced and I witnessed the natural outpouring of the assurance of who Jesus is. And I can't wait to watch that continue. For this whole church body to over and over and over again spur one another on towards love and good deeds in the name of Jesus Christ. And to continue to gather and meet and worship and share stories and fellowship and encouragement and life together. In days and in times when you feel insecure for whatever the reason, whether it's something in your own life, something in your family, in your community, or in the world, know that you have assurance in Jesus Christ. Trust in the one through whom all your sins are forgiven when you give them over to God and release them, asking for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And in that assurance, find those opportunities to support and encourage others with that assurance. Spur others on to love and to care for our community and our world. What a beautiful thing that Jesus is our assurance. Gracious God, this morning we pray for peace in our community and in our world. We commit to you all who work for peace and an end to tensions, and those who work to uphold law and justice. God, we pray for an end to fear, for comfort and support to those who suffer. God, we pray for calm in our streets and cities, that people may go about their lives in safety and peace. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers now and always. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.